Hearts and Herbs. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Parents, remind your young adults during spring graduation and prom season, the pressure and excitement becomes much greater and the likelihood of misusing or abusing drugs and alcohol increase. This year, practice moderation and common sense, especially behind the wheel and on our roads and highways. Remember, the life you save may be your own. A strong and safe community begins with the involvement and integrity of its people. This message was brought to you by the folks who care at Sykes Enterprises Incorporated, where they realize our children are our future and the future is worth protecting. That's Sykes Enterprises, located in Sterling.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the K&K discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and, you know, we live in strange times. Just this last week, an article appeared, certainly in every major newspaper I read, about how the Chinese communists and the Russians have infiltrated our electronic system, how they seem to have the ability to hack into our system, to disrupt it at any time they want to. They haven't necessarily done it, but the fact that they have that ability is concerning to American authorities. Now, why would they put that article out? Obviously, it was intentionally disseminated for a purpose, and I'm not sure why it was, but aren't the Chinese communists our enemies? Aren't they our allies? Haven't we funneled hundreds of billions of dollars over there to build up their military and to build up their manufacturing and transferred our manufacturing there intentionally and subsidized our companies and went over there? And are we actually guaranteeing the loan for Westinghouse to build them nuclear power plants so they can have nuclear power and we can't? So why would they bother to put that article, obviously planted in every major newspaper in America? And then just yesterday we had something happen here in America, very strange, never happened before. Somebody sabotaged the fiber conduits for the telephone lines, and we were just out of business yesterday. And initially we couldn't call out at all. Then we could call out, but we couldn't hear. And then we could we tried to do our program last night, and we just were incapable of doing it. Hopefully, we'll be able to do our regular programs again. I think the AT&T did a magnificent job of getting those cables repaired, because American free enterprise can do amazing things, but who sabotaged intentionally the cable lines here? I don't know. Maybe someday we'll know, but you suddenly realize how vulnerable we really are in the society we live in. Just a thought before we get to our special guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, thanks very much for being with us, and what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I have picked as one of my topics for today's World Affairs Brief this very problem of the cyber spying that is claimed, and I'll tell you, it's got your particular guest very skeptical of this, because all of a sudden this, these new revelations of cyber spies in the U.S. grid may be aimed at coaxing utilities to cooperate with new control regulations that the federal government has been trying to get these private companies to accept. Of course, this would lead to more Enron-type inroads, you know, into, you know, favoring certain companies and many other things that they could have down in mind. And there could be other things as well. But, you know, hearing that hackers are running amok in our power grid likely comes as a surprise to Americans because, you know, apparently this hasn't come from the media, but has been come from leakers inside government. And it came as a surprise to many of the, you know, electric grid companies, what problem they're saying. The former and security officials revealed that cyber spies originating in China, Russia, and other countries had entered the networks of U.S. utility companies, including those controlling water and sewage, with the mission, of course, of planting malware, with this type of software that is used for taking control of the systems or shutting them down. And, of course, this was leaked through the Wall Street Journal, which ever since it was taken over by our globalist friend, it seems to be more and more a government shill operation. This is a classic case of private sector companies of goading them into complying with new control directives. But Kevin Polson of Wired.com had an even more direct attack on the government ploy. Here's what he said. They're back. Those impish Chinese government cyber saboteurs we last saw posing as 20-foot tree huggers to trigger the 2003 Northeast power grid outage have all returned in a new adventure, this time in the pages of the Wall Street Journal. He says, in this episode, the clever hackers have teamed with the Russians to penetrate the U.S. electrical grid from coast to coast, planting diabolical malware designed to plunge Americans into darkness with a few keystrokes. The real authors of this tale are unnamed U.S. intelligence officials, perhaps the same ones who claimed last year that the Chinese government may have caused the 2003 blackout that cut off electricity to 50 million people in eight states. Sadly, this new installment doesn't contain the kind of juicy details that made the previous one so easy to debunk. In fact, there are almost no details at all. The attacks are, quote, pervasive, and yet not a single utility company is named as a victim. Even better, the tree or the blackout triggering malware hasn't been spotted by any of the companies, which explains perfectly why this is the first we've heard of it. Only American intelligence has seen the code. They could show us, but then they'd have to kill us. The unspoken lesson here is obvious. Chinese super hackers are superior. No, wait, that's not it. I know. Only the intelligence agencies are equipped to protect us from foreign cyber attacks. It's an unusually opportune time for this revelation since the NSA is at this very moment jockeying to take over cybersecurity at DHS, Department of Homeland Security, which lacks the wholesale warrantless wiretapping capabilities that NSA has needed to detect these hackers. What a lucky coincidence of timing. This is exciting, if uncheckable, story that it should emerge now. Well, a lot of tongue-in-cheek there, Dr. Stan, but I think he's really nailed it right on the head. You know, the final blow to the credibility of this story is my own. It's a widely known fact that in military circles, Russian military tactics call for an EMP strike. This is high-altitude nuclear weapons-induced electromagnetic pulse, which essentially blankets the entire nation with a magnetic pulse that takes down the entire electrical grid as an immediate prelude to an incoming nuclear missile strike. This obviously does away with the need to use malware to do the same thing.
Well, you know, it's so obvious this is a planted story, and I just hope our listeners begin to understand that when they plant these stories, it's not that the story is true. It's the fact that they want to give us the impression there's this threat out there, and they're doing it for a specific purpose, and obviously to expand government control over every aspect of our lives, to protect us from the wicked Chinese communists who were subsidizing and the wicked Russian communists who were subsidizing. You know, we've got to give more power to the government. If we don't, my goodness, the boogeyman's going to get us.
You know, it's amazing, Dr. Stan, there's not one, even though this is all accepted by fact within government circles, there's not one government spokesman doing anything to condemn Russia and China for this,
right,
if it were true. And that's because it isn't, and they don't want them to come out and tell us that it isn't.
We'll be back in just a moment here. Ladies and gentlemen, never read anything and accept it at face value. We'll be right back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes, horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now, or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Respect and care for our senior citizens should be a prime concern for everyone in our community. It shouldn't matter what season it is. Keep an extra eye open for our seniors and check on them on a regular basis and make sure they have what they need. Help with chores, visit a hospital or a nursing home. Keep hope alive by letting them know someone cares. This message courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families. They're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Brush Housing Authority, 970-482-5046.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and please go ahead and pick up the story from there, Joel.
Well, I'm going to switch topics to my main topic here. President Obama is speaking out of both sides of his mouth again. On the one side, he's rattling sabers in Iran and drones in Pakistan, and on the other side, he's pandering to the anti-nuclear, anti-war peace lobby. You know, this is the same disarmament god that all globalist puppet presidents pay homage to, and it couldn't be more false or come at a worse time in American security, for American security. You know, the Russian bear and the Chinese dragon are on the rise, and Obama, like Neville Chamberlain at the precipice of World War II, is crowing about peace in our time. Meanwhile, the president continues to follow all the globalist intervention and suppression of liberty policies of his despised predecessor, bombing civilian targets with predator drones in Afghanistan and Pakistan, threatening Iran, spying on the American people, invoking state secrets to keep citizens from suing the government in court, and shielding U.S. officials from authorizing torture. Despite this carefully crafted rhetoric, once again, Dr. Stan, nothing has changed, nothing is changing, and nothing is going to change.
I mean, I think that is really so amazing that Barack Obama would be supporting George Bush's position on torture, which is untenable in a civilized society, and other countries are, you know, are threatening, and actually they're bringing to trial, perhaps even in absentia, American citizens involved in authorizing torture. And Obama, who said how terrible this was when he was running for the presidency, is covering for George Bush and his gang of thugs who actually were promoting torture. And I wonder how many Americans have ever thought of the screams of the victims, have ever thought of the screams of the victims of innocent men being tortured by Americans under authorization from the White House.
You know, one of the main differences in why Obama's getting away with the same policies that George Bush did is he's so utterly believable when he speaks. I mean, he gets up there with so much conviction and says, America will not torture. America will prosecute those responsible. And everybody cheers. And they realize, you know, wow, we're hearing something that is absolutely, we can see conviction in his face. When George Bush would say something like that, he was always smirking, you know, and people could tell he was lying. George Bush couldn't tell a lie without smirking, but Barack Obama can. And that's why he still has a majority of people believing what is absolutely not happening. believing the rhetoric. Now, the commentators are seeing through Obama very well. Commentator Chris Lloyd unleashed a flurry of criticism at Obama's peace initiatives in Prague. Here's what he said. While the usual gaggle of sycophants and media hive-minders tell us that Barack Obama literally changed the course of human history by disgorging a great load of thrice-chewed cud about nuclear disarmament in Prague last week, the high-tech drone war the great hero of peace is waging inside the sovereign territory of Pakistan is helping drive tens of thousands of people from their homes and killing civilians almost daily. But there's nothing in Obama's speech that had not been said dozens, if not hundreds of times before by American presidents from both parties going back decades, all saying, we seek to peace and security in a world without nuclear weapons. Nuclear proliferation must be stopped. Rogue states can't have nuclear bombs. We will work with Russia to reduce our stockpiles on ad nauseum. What president has ever said otherwise? And I think that's very well put, Dr. Stan.
I agree with you.
Absolutely right.
But my fear is, of course, that we really have been facilitating the proliferation of nuclear weapons, as Sybil Edmonds' story suggests, and is published in every other country throughout the world except the United States. Let me suggest once again, if you don't know the Sybil Edmonds story, go to RadioLiberty.com, and it's the January 2008 newsletter. Vitally important for American people to understand that the official policy of the United States has nothing to do with the covert policy, which has been advocating and encouraging proliferation of nuclear weapons. And why would rational people do that? Well, we're not dealing with rational people. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, history is littered with the debris and the dead of this Western fetish, for disarmament. The history of arms control is simply an abject and deadly failure, and they continue to persist. Political science professor David Schaefer of the College of Holy Cross gave Wall Street Journal readers a summary of past violations, or stupidity, I should say. Beginning in 1906, Britain cut back an ambitious program of naval construction. 1906, I think I said, began under a previous administration in the hope of thereby avoiding an arms race with Germany. But the change in policy actually encouraged Admiral Alfred von Tirpitz to redouble his efforts to build a navy that would rival Britain's. And this, of course, caused us considerable problems at the beginning of World War I. Then the Washington Naval Conference of 1922 set limits on battleship construction by the U.S., Japan, Britain, and France, and Italy. And as a result, Japan began to focus on building all kinds of other warships, paving the way for Pearl Harbor, of course, after multiple and purposeful provocations by the Roosevelt administration, which drove Japan to this war footing. Britain's policy of restraint in military production during the 1930s, combined with the refusal of British and French governments to send forces to turn back Hitler's then-weak army when it violated the Treaty of Versailles by militarizing the Rhineland, did not placate Hitler. It only whetted the dictator's appetite, generating what Winston Churchill would call the unnecessary war, World War II, which might never have occurred had the Western Allies maintained their armaments and a firm policy during the wars that led up to it. Of course, we know now that Winston Churchill was a globalist and was, in fact, attempting to provoke this World War II, just as he provoked the bombing raids on London by doing carpet bombing of civilian housing in the Rhineland. Lastly, the U.S. signed the Strategic Arms Limitation Talks, anti-ballistic missile treaties with the Soviets in 1972, expecting that they would produce a, quote, stable balance and ultimately a reduction in nuclear arms. Instead, the Soviets continued their race for nuclear superiority. Of all people, Jimmy Carter's Defense Secretary Harold Brown said in 1979, "When we build, they build. When we cut, they build."
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So they build no matter what we do, so it does no good to cut. As President Ronald Reagan observed in 1985, his address on the Strategic Defense Missile Program, but the Soviets never accepted the innocent American notion that being mutually vulnerable to attack was in our common interest, rebutting the phony mutually assured destruction myth of deterrence. I mean, frankly, The Russians have been planning to win a nuclear war. They don't believe in mutually assured destruction. That's why they have these huge bunker systems, including Yamantau Mountain, which is a bunker complex of, it's not really a bunker, it's underground factories. They intend to continue to manufacture weapons during a nuclear war because they have areas that are safe from nuclear weapons. And to this I would add the most recent violations of disarmament agreements that are, which are even worse, both as to the act itself and the insistence of the U.S. in going through with their portion of disarmament in spite of Russian noncompliance. Number one, after the deceptive fall of the Soviet Union, Eastern European defectors revealed that the Russians had not removed intermediate-range missiles from Kyiv-based launching sites in Czechoslovakia and Bulgaria, as agreed in the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. And this was known to the supposedly pro-Western anti-communist governments of Czechoslovakia and Bulgaria, who were in fact still fronting for the Russians. Number two, in 1991, Strategic Arms Reductions Treaty START 1 went into force, requiring reductions in nuclear delivery missiles to under 1,000 weapons each, deployed and reserved by the end of 2010. The U.S. complied and removed its most powerful missiles, the MX, and reducing the minimum missiles to less than 500. I think we're down to 300 and some now. The Russians allowed the U.S. to dismantle a few older SS-18s and 24s, and then decided to retain the most modern ones on alert so that they are not complying, and the U.S. has said nothing. Number three, in 2002, Bush pushed through a unilateral or bilateral agreement with the Russians, the Strategic Offensive Reductions Treaty, called SORT, requiring the reduction of warheads from 6,000 to 1,700 for the U.S. and 2,200 for the Russians, just to be gracious, of course. They get to keep more weapons so they don't feel insecure. The U.S. continued the taxpayer-funded program, the Nunn-Luger program, to dismantle older missile warheads for the Russians and even build a state-of-the-art nuclear facility for Russia to rejuvenate those warheads. Russia placed all those warheads in reserve. No destruction took place that we can verify. The program to supposedly buy back recycled uranium from Russia has no way to ensure that the Russians are actually providing fuel for warheads rather than new uranium mined in their ample stockpiles. So I think we've been snookered at taxpayers' expense by disarmament, and we're actually contributing to building Russia's missile systems.
But, you know, are leaders really this stupid and naive, or are they simply pretending to be stupid and naive, allowing Russia to prepare for the coming nuclear war? That is the question.
Well, interestingly, Schaefer ends with the question in the words of Joan Baez's anti-war song, when will they ever learn? Of course, the intent of Baez would say, when will you learn that war doesn't gain anything? And, of course, he turns around and says, basically, our leaders don't learn that disarmament doesn't work. Globalists don't learn because they don't really want a conflict-free world. They're not insane. They're entirely rational. I think, ultimately, they have a pact with the devil to try to destroy liberty and God's purposes on earth. But conflict gives them the rationale to force unwanted change on people. Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, made the now famous, infamous remark, which is often quoted, never let a serious crisis go to waste. It's an opportunity to do things you couldn't do before. Now, this was a telltale admission that he and others inside government truly believe in the Hegelian doctrine of managed conflict to enforce change and are using it. This is an extremely evil doctrine, as you know, Dr. Stan. It's worse than Machiavellian. It's actually, you know, instigating wars and evils and crises and death and destruction in order to drive people into accepting decisions by government that they would normally reject.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the only logical explanation as we look and see what's going on. But it is only logical when you understand the nature of evil that we are aligned against. But please go right ahead.
And that's why each successive administration, be it Republican or Democrat, seeks for more appeasement of real threats and attacks weaker nations to further larger provocations. Are they really just stupid, as you ask, or there's another agenda? Well, they're not stupid, and there is another agenda. The agenda is war. One-sided disarmament only encourages war and makes it inevitable.
So, I think you're absolutely right, but I think it's so hard for people, Joel, to accept that. I mean, I had lunch yesterday with a gentleman who said, well, it would be totally illogical to have a nuclear war. The Russians know it would be destructive. Our leaders know it would be destructive. Rational men wouldn't want that. And my remark was, we're not dealing with rational men. We're dealing with people who have a different worldview. And when you understand that, then it all begins to make sense. So many of the things today would seem unexplainable begin to fit into the pattern when you understand the true nature of the spiritual forces that are energizing both sides.
One of the most disturbing things to me is that our own people, our own Christians in this nation, who claim to have the Holy Spirit of the Lord, are so abysmal, weak at seeing evil masquerading as good, or even believing in evil, in systematic evil. You know, they believe that individuals can be evil, but they just simply cannot see the lying mentality of high government officials. I mean, every time I see a government spokesman, I see a person lying and couching behind the truth. I watched the interview with Susan Rice on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, being interviewed by Judy Woodruff. And, you know, listening to a professional diplomat give us all of the excuses and jargon of why they can't do things when we're supposed to take military action and why we have to take military action when we shouldn't, I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, we'll be right back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
S&S Repair in Sterling reminds our listeners, safe driving isn't child's play. Safety behind the wheel starts with you, and part of that means not talking on your cell phone or only using a hands-free device while driving. That's from S&S Repair, where service is more than a word, it's a fact. A fact based on automotive expertise, backed by the right equipment and proven by customers who won't trust their cars to anyone else. Located at 115 Broadway Street in Sterling. Call Ken at 970-526-2668. Specializing in electrical and auto service and general auto repair.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stanback here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, why don't you tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. It comes out every Friday. There's a modest subscription for this weekly news analysis service that I give. If people want a sample issue of the World Affairs Brief to see if they'd like to subscribe, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, they can go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and it tells them how to do that at the end of the synopsis of the current brief. There's also, of course, one of the nicest free services about my website is that my research staff posts the best of the daily news articles that come out, and they screen through a lot of junk, Dr. Stan, to get things that have the least disinformation in them and that are, at least halfway valid. So I know your staff relies on this service, and it's something that we're happy to do for people.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. It saves me a lot of time every morning when I get up, and after I go through my emails, I go through a World Affairs Brief and pull down their material, and that way I don't have to screen to surf the web. They've done it for me. So I recommend the website to you. I recommend the weekly commentary. I always look forward to it. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about various forms of disarmament. One of the more subtle forms of disarmament going on is in the name of budget cutting, but specifically targeting America's weapons that will be essential in the next war against Russia and China. Noah Schachtman writes that quote, the Defense Secretary Gates just proposed the most sweeping overhaul of America's arsenal and of the Pentagon budget in decades. Major weapon systems, from aircraft carriers to next-generation bombers to new school fighting vehicles, will be cut back, including our best fighter, the F-22 Raptor, or eliminated. Billions more will be put into growing American insurgency fighting forces, both human and robotic. For a year and a half, Gates has been trying to force the American military-industrial establishment to concentrate on the dirty, irregular wars America's actually in, instead of tomorrow's hypothetical showdowns with China or Russia. In other words, he's saying, don't prepare for the really big war coming up. Keep bleeding American resources in never-ending small foreign wars and conflicts in the phony war on terror. And this, is so short-sighted. You think that, and in fact, you can't ever win these guerrilla wars. Haven't anyone learned from military history of generation to generation that small guerrilla counterinsurgency wars just keep bleeding a nation? Sure, you have to fight them, but you don't put all of your resources there because that's what they want you to do. They are a prelude to weakening this nation so that we're more vulnerable to a preemptive nuclear strike.
And destroying the lives of our young men, this is the tragedy, and there's so many, if they don't die, will be crippled psychologically or physically in one way or another for life. And many of them are still coming back with something similar to the Gulf War syndrome and permanently incapacitated. Go right ahead.
Well, there was another story that came out this week about an Army sergeant who had tape-recorded his psychologist, who was going to for therapy for post-traumatic stress syndrome, just come out of the military and being mustered out. And the psychologist admitted to him that the Army was pressuring them not to diagnose post-traumatic stress syndrome, but just anxiety or some of the lesser forms so that the government could get off the hook. But even though this story has made its way to the committees of Congress, the Army came out with its own exoneration of itself, essentially whitewashing this story by the psychologist. And, there seems to be some collusion within the Senate and the House because staffers are dismissing this and not giving it. There should be an uproar over the Army trying to pressure psychologists to change their diagnosis on things. This is just like the trying to reduce funding, and yet Barack Obama in Iraq, I remember him on television saying, we will do everything to support you. And of course the troops just cheer because they know about the Veterans Administration debacle and the cutting back of pay and benefits and other things, and yet here he is, his own administration is trying to undercut these vets while telling them to their face that he's supporting them.
Well, you know, it's the most amazing thing. He can talk about privacy and then do everything he can to undermine privacy of our medical records by putting them on the Internet. He can talk about transparency and then do everything he can to cover up misdeeds. He can talk about, we don't want lobbyists in Washington, D.C., and yet he surrounds himself with former lobbyists. He could talk about, integrity in government, and yet how many of his people have had to resign because they don't pay their income taxes, or he forces them onto us, people like Mr. Geithner, Timothy Geithner, who didn't pay his taxes, and now he's in charge of the IRS. I mean, what sort of madness is this? How can you say one thing and do exactly the opposite, and the American people don't see you? Well, I'll tell you what, Ronald Reagan did it. He was magnificent. He talked about cutting taxes, increased them. He talked about, doing away with massive government deficits, and he increased the government deficits. He talked about cutting back on government, and he cut back here, but we ended up with more government than ever before. You can say one thing, you can do the other, and if you got a nice smile, people never see what you're doing.
Well, of course, I think the difference with Reagan, since he was not an actual conspirator in this cause, not a puppet, that he had to be pressured to do those things, and he had to have his arms twisted and things because he was resistant to those things. So there was a difference, even though the result was the same, because they had a globalist, George Bush, forced upon him as his vice president to control his staff. And that's how they control a president. There's no president that is smart enough or has enough time of the day to control all aspects of the American government. They have to depend on staff, and that's how they control them. Well, my next topic, Dr. Stan, is debunking Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is right about many things that are wrong about government, but he's always on the wrong side of the conspiracy issue. As I predicted, Glenn Beck reversed himself again on the FEMA camps issue and reverted to his old conspiracy-bashing ways. On Fox and Friends segment, one day prior to his original airing date for the FEMA camps report, he clearly implied that he had begun this project with the aim to debunk the FEMA camps theory, but had come away convinced that they did exist. He told, and this is a quote from his actual interview, he said, "I'm doing a story tonight. I wanted to debunk these FEMA camps, but we've done research on them, and I can't debunk them." Now he claims those remarks were taken out of context and that he never believed there was any conspiracy, which is his regular pattern of behavior. He said, "Well, predictably, the media started claiming that somehow or another I believed in these conspiracy theories, even though I said on the air millions of times that I don't, and I've said that for years. We were working with an independent group to debunk them or to prove them. I also said that on the air over and over and over again. But who listens to context? This is his typical offhanded rant that he does. Well, I listen to context, Dr. Stan, and he's not getting away with claiming misunderstanding."
I heard him. In fact, we have it posted on our website, the YouTube clip where he says there really is something to the FEMA concentration camps. We'll be back in just a moment here. With Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Your brother has it, your coworkers have it, and your friends have it. You need to get your concealed weapons permit, too. Go to www.theshootingschool.org and sign up now for the NRA Basic Pistol Class to get your Colorado concealed carry permit. Unlike most instructors, we provide you with enough certificates to renew your carry permit for 10 years. Visit theshootingschool.org now to register or call Senior Instructor Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. That's Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. www.theshootingschool.org.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, for the last segment of our program. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about Glenn Beck persisting in his anti-conspiratorial bashing on a show. He had attempted to claim that he's been harassed by emails about FEMA concentration camps, and he set out to debunk them, and he said, I could not debunk them. And then he turns around and announces the next day that he's postponing his revelations about FEMA camps because there's something wrong with the data. Well, you know, the big problem, Dr. Stan, is his claim that, he had an independent investigating team looking after this. Well, it turned out to be not independent at all. It turns out to be the most anti-conspiratorial outfit in the establishment media, Popular Mechanics, which did debunking hatchet jobs on everything from the Kennedy assassination theories to the notoriously biased attack on 9/11 conspiracy theories. Popular Mechanics' specialty is picking on the weakest arguments, the straw man tactic, or most easily demolished theories and evading the stronger ones. And basically, Beck and Meigs do cover the issue of the expensive turnstile entrances with high security fences at the Beech Grove Amtrak repair facility, which Linda Thompson, kind of an agent provocateur, had goaded the militia and conservative movement into believing it was a concentration camp. And but Meigs claims that these turnstiles and all the fencing with barbed wire on top of it were for employee control as they checked in and out of work, and that they have been replaced by standard card punch time machines. Whether or not this is a future camp, I'm not buying this facile, you know, explanation so easily. Why would any company build seven foot high turnstiles with fenced enclosures as an employee entrance when time card machines have been available for decades and are much cheaper? After all, these aren't common laborers, but skilled technicians who work on Amtrak cars. It simply doesn't wash. Meigs was right about not finding any gas ovens for disposing of people, but of course that was the devious assumption about new gas pipe installations that was proposed by Linda Thompson, who, as I said, is a suspected agent provocateur who originally made the video and accused the facility of being a concentration camp. She was the one who tried to get the conservative and militia movement into trouble with the law by trying to mount an armed, revolution against Washington and march on Washington, which would have got a lot of people arrested. Well, a second episode has come out now on the net of Glenn Beck with Jim Meigs, and shows a National Guard prison camp, Camp Grayling, in central northern Michigan, often cited people as a concentration camp, although it certainly could be used as in the future. It's a training camp, though, for dealing with concentration camp thing, and why train for that if in fact you're not going to have a camp in the future? I mean, but they didn't point that out. Of course, they put on and made a big deal of it, the internet hoax, where some disinformation expert had taken a picture, a government picture of a North Korean concentration camp, satellite picture, and mislabeled it, put the DHS logo on it, mislabeled it as the FEMA camp in Wyoming. And they had a big laugh, of course, over how, at the listener's expense, about how conspiracy people just want to believe so badly they got snookered by this. Well, look, you know, when you have a disinformation expert taking a government-only satellite photo and put it in there and claim, I mean, who in the public has the ability to check that out? Very few people do. And so it's not so much that we ought to laugh at those who get snookered in by disinformation. We ought to look to why is government planting the seeds of disinformation. It's done specifically to cast derision on those who believe that our government is up to no good, and I think their suspicions are correct. I've done significant research myself, and I have found that so many of the some 300 to 600 supposed camps that are listed on internet websites are bogus. Somebody's gone to all the trouble of not visiting any of these things, but taking any rumor of any fenced enclosure with barbed wire on top of it as a potential concentration camp. But there are real camps that nobody seems to be bothered about talking about, much less Glenn Beck. I found by my personal research they were actual U.S. prison camps that are kept empty but intact. Federal prison camp at Nellis Air Force Base, which was recently taken off the federal prison rolls in 2006, along with two other large camps on military bases, Eglin Air Force Base in Northwest Florida and Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in North Carolina, both have camps that were listed as of prior to 2006 on the federal prison database. The fourth prison closure was at federal prison camp Allenwood in Montgomery, Pennsylvania, and this is all a matter of public record until those records disappeared, but the camps have not disappeared. Now, that tells you something. That should have been discussed, is why is the government taking these off the record? They're claiming that they're old and unused and underutilized, and yet California is unleashing on the public thousands and thousands of prisoners, mostly Latino immigration violation people, and the specific purpose the government said these camps were for was to handle illegal immigration problems, and yet they're downsizing and shutting, supposedly taking them off the records, and not using them to take up this California release system. I mean, it just boggles the mind. You would think that they are not thinking properly unless you understood their agenda.
Well, you know, I can remember so well when the Iranian, the Shah's government was required under pressure from the American State Department to listen to release all these political prisoners who were dissidents and activists and revolutionaries, and as soon as they got out of prison, they became revolutionaries, and they created all sorts of discord and violence and demonstrations, and it led to the toppling of the Shah. Why would our government be releasing prisoners, unless maybe they want to increase the level of crime, and then, of course, that'll be a call for more government control. Look at all that crime and those murders out there and the rapes. Gee, we've got to do something to protect the people from the prisoners we just released. The average individual cannot believe that they could be that diabolical, though.
Well, you know, Meigs and Beck had a great laugh about how conspiracy theorists simply haven't got any facts to back up their thing. But, you know, I just don't understand this other than the fact that these are, I don't think Glenn Beck is part of the conspiracy. I think he's a useful idiot that has got his ego on the line, has made such a deal about conspiracy theories he can't back down. But there is evidence.
Hey, we'll be back. We're out of time, Joel. Thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Not just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland takes this time to remind all drivers to drive carefully and cautiously. Drive as though your life depends upon it, because a child's life often does. When you take to the road, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, common sense. Remember, drivers don't drink and drive. Let's keep our children safe from harm. That's from Terry Madigan and her fine family and staff at Not Just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Office or commercial space for rent? Here's your chance to get a great location downtown Johnstown across from Ace Hardware on Parrish. Only $500 a month. Lots of room for sign exposure and 500 square feet. Available now. Call 970-231-6586. Also available, one-bedroom apartment for rent. Remodeled, clean, air conditioning, downtown Johnstown, off-street parking. Available now. Only $575 a month. Please call 970-231-6586. 970-231-6586.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our conversations every Friday morning with Joel Skousen, and I know I do. But, you know, we do have some excellent information. We have a talk on the planned police state, and we have a syllabus that goes with that. Excellent. And basically, we go into the Japanese concentration camps that a few years ago were given some $82 million to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps. Why would we want to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps where they put the Japanese in the Second World War? Well, the explanation that was given was, well, we want the American people never to forget how terrible it was to put American citizens in concentration camps. That's why we're refurbishing the Japanese concentration camps. But then, if that was true, why did they authorize $385 million for Kellogg, Brown, and Root to build new concentration camps for American citizens in the United States? All of this is covered, but you want the documentation, and that's the beauty of the syllabus. You'll have the documentation on everything we say. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on concentration camps, four-tape set. We made this some years ago, a DVD our good friend David Wagner made on concentration camps, government documents, where people in government, senators, were talking about the danger of concentration camps. And then you'll actually see Congressman Jack Brooks of Texas at the Iran-Contra hearings back in the late 1980s talking about the plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and start arresting Americans and putting them in concentration camps. And Senator Inouye in the background constantly interrupting, we can't have this information out, we'll talk about it in private sessions, we can't discuss it here. And then Congressman Gonzalez coming on, and Henry Gonzalez, head of the House Banking Committee, saying, yes, there really was a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them in concentration camps. You're never going to see this elsewhere. You want to get our concentration camp special. You want to get my talk on planned police state with the documentation. You need to have the information, and of course you'll get more from Joel Skousen, but you need to understand that there really are people out there who do not believe in our Constitution. They belong to an elite group called the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, shame on you. You need to get that, and of course you need to read it and get my talk on the forbidden secret with the syllabus that goes with that, to understand the spiritual forces, the demonic forces, the Luciferian forces at work in our society today. You need to have the information. You need to share it with others. And then, of course, we have so much more information through Radio Liberty. The Secret Mysteries set, there are three DVDs, Secret Mysteries, Riddles in Stone, and the latest one, The Eye of the Phoenix, and we recommend that to you very strongly, The Eye of the Phoenix. It's an excellent DVD going into the background of the the satanic Luciferian emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And, of course, when you see them, you'll never forget them. When you understand they were put there by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a disciple of Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist. FDR sent a whole team out to California here, to the Philosophical Research Society, to get copies of Manly P. Hall's research into the background of the mystery religions and the dark arts. We carry Manly P. Hall's books here, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, the Lost Keys of Freemasonry, and certainly one of the most important ones, a little book called The Secret Destiny of America. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, Radio Liberty. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box 1750.